Thanks a lot for coming along this afternoon. My name's Greg Olson. I'm a CRM technical lead at Intergen. I'm also a VTSP for CRM. The session is we'll take you through what you need to do to upgrade from CRM 4 to 2011. I've got a Twitter handle there, it's Grego, and I've got a blog I regularly blog on when I get time, yellow.guy.wordpress.com. So feel free to add me to Twitter if you've got a handle. Just to get an indication of the room, how many people are using CRM 4 at the moment? Oh, yeah, we've got a few, that's good. And 2011? Okay, so a bit of a mixture. Okay, that's good. Okay, let's move on. So the agenda for this session today is I'll take you a look through the new features of CRM 2011. I'll outline the upgrade scenarios both for CRM online and on-premise. Planning an upgrade is the most important phase of an upgrade. So there's three upgrade options we'll be outlining today for CRM 2011 on-premise and online. And we'll highlight some options for CRM online with data migration as well. A common planning exercise that I use with data migrations or upgrades from CRM 4 to 2011 is what I call the smoke test upgrade. We'll take you through this a little bit later on what that means. Execution of the smoke test upgrade, when I talk you through it, I'll take you through a demo of that, so that'll be halfway through the session. And then we'll close the session with some resources, related resources, and also so you can do your evaluation, so you can be in the draw to win the TechEd prizes. So let's take a look at the new features of 2011, and there are a heap of them. As some of you probably already know. So I don't have time for this session to go through them all, so I'm just going to touch on some of the key ones that I've pulled out to run through if you're new to CRM or like to know some of the key features to take you through. So CRM 2011 now has the office look and feel with key advantage of now adding on the CRM ribbon. So we didn't have that with CRM 4, so it's been added, and this allows for a fluent user interface. Role-based forms has been added to CRM 2011, so you can tally your forms now based on the security roles within your system. So there's no JavaScript or creating your other options around that. Limitations have been removed now for creating custom activities, or limitations being removed around not having the ability to create custom activities. So now within 2011 we've got the ability to create a custom activity, track all related aspects of the custom activity. A common example I've seen for some of these is creating things like an SMS activity or an on-site repair. So some of the systems I've seen people do that. This means that these custom activities can be used like other activities shipped with CRM. Lastly, another huge improvement with these is they support with recurring appointments as well. So if you've worked with CRM 4 in the past, one of the heavy requests from customers and partners was the ability to create recurring appointments. So with 2011, you now get the ability out of the box to get recurring appointments. This can be critical for service organizations that provide schedule activities or services. CRM 4, we have the ability to build our own auditing, and I know I've done this in the past with plugins, and a few others have done that as well. And now with CRM 2011, you get auditing out of the box, so that's built in, and you can use that on custom entities as well. Similar to auditing in CRM 4, we have the ability to build your own dashboards and expose them in CRM, and some of us have done that with iframes, etc., or just making a link off the sitemap to a web application and exposing the reports that way. Now with 2011, you've got the dashboards built in and the ability to add your own SSRS reports. So if you've got those in 2011, you can bring those across and leverage them as well. Or you can build your own SSRS reports or introduce your own charts and that sort of thing as well and configure those quite on demand at the sort of the management level rolled out for customers and projects. Dynamics 2011 also allows you to set access permissions now at the field level. Again, in CRM 4, we've had to do this most of the time through JavaScript based on security roles. So now you've got the field level access out of the box. Another big one is the SharePoint integration is now more native and more easy to configure. This allows for more document management capabilities out of the box, and also allows you to take advantage of all the other document manageabilities within SharePoint. So that's the whole checkout, check-in, and also the custom content types, track your changes and version control. A new area which sort of stumbles a few developers when they start off with 2011 is the solution management side. Dynamics 2011, CRM 2011 provides a centralized solution section within the application where organizations can store, configure, and track solutions. So it allows you to better create layered solutions within your organization, and those are both either managed or unmanaged. So unmanaged solution cannot be removed once it's applied to your CRM 2011 system, whereas a managed solution can be removed. And most of the time I see managed solutions created by third-party companies, and they add on to into your system. And I know if you go to Guy's session tomorrow, he'll take you through a bit more in that area. And lastly on the list, the developer additions. This is an area that's quite keen to my heart, and I'm quite heavily a developer background, so this is an area that I get interested in, is that we've now got WCS services there now. So there's a big overhaul there. We've got .NET 4 support, and now we've gone back to the native data type, so no CRM Booleans and those sort of things, which is good. The concept of web resources being added, and also the open data protocol, OData, has been added as well. So those are sort of the RTM release features that came when CRM shipped. On beyond that, we've had quite a few more updates through the update roll-ups. And one of the first ones that was quite notable was an update roll-up 7, which carried the new feature of the read-only forms. This is disabled by default, and these forms, as they state, are read-only with no edit controls loaded. And the main purpose is this, for increased performance for users who just need to read data rather than update it. So these read-only forms, as you can see on the screen in front of you, they don't load any of the ribbon or the web resources and form scripts. And also the administrator, if you're administrating the system, you've got the ability to define which view is shown to users within the system settings, and that's within the administrator section of CRM. Another feature as well, which is a lot of companies and customers that I've been working with are wanting to upgrade to SQL Server 2012. So this is now supported with CRM 2011 from update rollup 6 or above. So once you move to CRM 2011 and you've got the latest update rollups, you can now take advantage of SQL Server 2012 as well. I've just highlighted out one standout feature there, which is the always on feature, which is one of the key areas of SQL Server. This feature provides the error of the database mirroring and disaster recovery. With always on, users are able to fail over multiple databases and groups instead of individually, and the secondary copy of your CRM system will be readable instead of sitting idle and offline. And the other thing I've noticed too, that you can actually query that other database as well, because whereas normally you'd be offline and you'd have to bring that up or import it into CRM to actually get access to it. So that's quite a great feature if you're looking at large rollouts and you're looking at disaster recovery options and that sort of thing. Now, if you went to Regan's session, he would have just touched on multi-browser support. Now, this was meant to come with update rollup 9, but has been delayed. The word for Microsoft is this will be available in Q4 of 2012, and this allows CRM 2011 now to be multi-supported platform in both browser. So the restrictions around IE are sort of a bit more fluid. So Windows 7 and Vista XP are now with 7 Plus and IE are supported. That's normally a given. Apple and iPad, both the OS and iPad 2 are not supported on IE. With Firefox, so Windows 7, Vista and XP, version 6 and above will be supported. And on the Apple OS, you're version 6 and above. With the iPad, there's no support there. With Chrome, version 13 and above, with Windows 7, Vista and XP, and not supported on the Apple and the iPad. And also on the Safari, obviously being an Apple-based web browser, that's supported with 5.11 and above. So just to give you an idea of where CRM 2011 is going with its multi-browser compatibility, and we should see that around Q4. Not too sure of the exact dates on that, but
wait for it near the end of the year.
Now, the architecture with the Serum 2011 is reasonably similar to Serum 4, but there are a lot of changes under the hood. So the new additions, as I mentioned earlier, is the web resources is new to the architecture. The JavaScript libraries, there's been quite a bit of a change there to allow a lot more reuse of your JavaScript for developers, and that's your form logic. And introducing the dashboards as well inside the reporting capabilities of the architecture is quite rich now, so that allows us, we don't have to too much now to build those from scratch. And also, there's always a support integration if you're wanting to integrate with other financial applications or legacy applications or cloud applications. The supported mechanism is always through those web service layer, so that still stands. And also, if you're wanting to look at reporting, especially for on-premise, the filtered SQL views are still the way to bring that through and expose that out or insert data. So what I'll do is I'll take you through the different upgrade scenarios that are available for both on-premise and online. So if you've got a CRM4 on-premise, which is internet-facing deployment version, you've got the ability to, again, stay on-premise and go internet-facing deployment with 2011. If you're using the CRM4 online via Microsoft or an ISV's hosted that for you, you've got the ability, not saying you should shift away from them, but they want to host it, but you've got the ability to shift on to CRM 2011 online for that scenario. And then if you've got your CRM 4 instance in-house, it's on-premise, and you want to know the different options, so you could keep that on-premise, so it could go to CRM 2011 on-premise, or you've got the ability now to remove that infrastructure layer and shift it up into the cloud and go online. It's just a note I popped on there that you can only support an upgrade path is from 4 to 2011. So if you're anyone on CRM 3 in the room? Hopefully. Oh, there's one. Okay. For instance, if you wanted to upgrade, you need to go from 3 to 4 and then from 4 to 2011. So I'll just take you through some of the planning. I talked about the different options earlier on in the agenda. So I've tried to summarize it in a diagram to make it a little bit more readable. So option one on your left-hand side there is what I call the side-by-side upgrade. And this is where you'd create a CRM application server, a new instance of that, of 2011. I haven't put the versions on there, but just think the left one there is CRM 4, and you're creating a new application server there on the right of option one side by side is CRM 2011, so you create a new instance, and that's a new installation. And this provides the least amount of potential downtime for CRM users, since you're doing a side by side deployment of the environment. And the existing functionality can remain in your CRM 4 instance. If you happen to want to roll back, you can continue with that instance. You also then provision a separate SQL Server instance as well, and you've got the ability here if you want to go to SQL Server 2012 if you put the latest update rollups into CRM, and then you've also got the ability to ship in your database from your CRM 4 instance using the import manager to bring all your data across as well. Option 2 is similar, but it's using the same SQL Server. You want to keep the same SQL Server, so an in-place upgrade will take place on that. But it will change the configuration and your default database organizations to the new 2011. If these issues occur during the upgrade, you must roll back to CRM 4 to avoid downtime, but there will be a lot more work involved in there. So there will be a number of backups and things you'll need to do if you take that approach. And then the last option is just a full in-place upgrade, whereas you just want to run your CRM application server in SQL to the new version. So you might want to keep your existing SQL server, your existing application server, but you'll run the CRM 2011 on the application server and fully upgrade everything to 2011. If that turns pear-shaped for some unknown reason, do some backups before you do that, you've then got significant downtime to roll that back. So that's why I recommend doing the side-by-side option, having your systems, a new CRM system run up side-by-side and migrate across. That way, if you
and then you've got the ability at any point in time to go live where you feel everything's up and running. And then the upgrade to online, so I touched on premise, and the online is it wipes out the whole infrastructure layer. So it doesn't involve any of these three upgrade options, but you basically go online, you provision a new CRM 211 online instance, and then you simply, once you're signed up for that, then you go through the normal processes of getting your data up onto that environment and also getting the solutions deployed up in there as well, your 211 solution. So I just touched on data migration. So there's two options if you're going from on-premise to on-premise. So the first option is you could, which I'll take you through a demo of this a little bit later, is you can import the CRM for organization. This will migrate all your data without having to re-import it. Or you've got the second option where you can if you've created a new instance, you can actually use tools to bring that data from your old CRM for environment into your new CRM 211 environment. And that's quite a bit more work, so I'd normally recommend the first option so you could bring your data across, but there may be factors why you can't do that. If you're going from on-premise to online, you need to migrate all your data into the instance in the cloud. You can use the out-of-the-box, the CRM import tool. This is if you take your CSV files, which you've exported out all your data out of your CRM, for instance, create your templates, put your data in there and pump them up with your data maps. That can be a long, long, tedious process if you have got a large amount of volume of data. So if your system doesn't have a lot of data in there and not a lot of customizations, meaning a lot of entities to bring that data in, that could be a good option. The other option, if you've got a large amount of data and you're wanting to do your data migration maybe over a weekend, I'd probably recommend you write a custom application that uses the SDK and then imports it up into the cloud. And that way you've got the ability to manage the code, manage the timings, you can create multiple threads if you want to fire more data up onto the web services, and you can try and claw back the time it takes to get that data up. The other options, there's SQL Server integration services, but if you use those sort of tools to pull them out of your system, they'll still need to talk up into the web services layer. Also, you won't be able to put that into the SQL Server backend directly. And there's other third-party tools out on the market like Scribe that allow you to do that as well. So you've got a few options around that. A lot of the times that I've done large migrations, I've taken the approach of using creating a custom application that does it for me, and we've created a few of those at Intergen, and we've reused them on a number of projects. So just understanding the scope. So some of the times when the customers or people come and ask me, what do I need to do in order to go, what's the process you go through in order to understand what needs to be done for an upgrade? Because it's not a 5-minute job. I've just given it the name Smoke Test Upgrade Process. I thought I'd share this with you guys. And I've just got a sort of, rather than putting a whole lot of bullet points on this PowerPoint, I've just gone through and trying to break it down to make it a little bit easier to explain. So the first step, you'd go through and you'd set up your new CRM 211 environment, and that'll involve an application server and your SQL server. You can use your existing AD, so that's not a problem. You could create new organizational units and separate all those out so it's nice and clean. So once you've got your CRM 4 environment sitting there humming and you're ready to go with that data and that customizations and everything, you take a backup within the SQL server, and it's normally named with the organizational name of that system, underscore MSCRM. You then take that database, restore it into your CRM 2011 SQL backend. And then once you've done that, you then import the CRM 4 organization user deployment manager. And you go through and use that tool. And once the import is finished, you can then now sit down and go through and test what is broken with that system. So you've actually upgraded it, but you know things are going to be broken within that system. So, and then once you've gone through your tests and checked this functionality, that functionality, integration, all that sort of stuff, I recommend you put it into like a defect management system that you can manage all that and log all those into that system. Once you've gone through and logged them all, you've really got a good picture of what's broken and what you need to fix. And I call that's where the smoke test is complete. You've done what you need to do from there, you sort of can hand it over to your project managers or people that would put together maybe a statement of work or the plan to actually do the upgrade. And from that list in the issue defect management system, you can go through and now put estimates of how long each one of those would take to fix. So if those certain areas may be in JavaScript or plugins, that there's code that's not working, or it's using incorrect URLs because the WCS service layer has changed, or it's all using the old .NET data types that you want to change over to the .NET 4 data types, you can go through and hand that to developers or people that have that capability of estimating that, and they can put together the estimates against that. You can then take that from the last approach and then build a project plan, and that'll tell you how long things are going to take to build, test, and implement, deploy. So that's sort of the overview of the smoke test upgrade, and that's just sort of the process that I've been using. I've done that for a number of customers and it works quite well, and I'd recommend if you've got to take something away today, take that away with you. So what I'll do now is just take you through, it's really a demo of what I've just spoken about with that smoke test upgrade, and this is for an on-premise environment where you've got a side-by-side, so option one of those three options that I showed earlier. And I'll just take you through of how from the restoring the database right through to the end of what actually you do if you haven't done this process before. And to do this, rather take the demo that I built for this session actually took 40 minutes to run, and I didn't want to play that and let you guys sit there and wait for 40 minutes. So what I've done is I've recorded that session, and I'm just going to talk through it and talk through the steps of how that's implemented. So I'll just run that up now. So the first step there shown on your screen in front of you, that's showing it right, yep, is basically you've got your backup of your CRM4 database, and you're ready to go with your data and all your customizations. It's all in that SQL database. So you go through the normal procedures. You could script this. Just for this demo, I've just used the other box restore options. I've just gone and filled in again up the top there, given it a name, techhead2012_MSCRM. It's good to prefix it with MS, or put it on the end, MSCRM, just so that the wizard, when you go to the deployment manager, can recognize it. So once you go through, select all that, just wait through, you put together the rest of the options in there that you need to configure, and then SQL Server will go through, depending on the size of the database, this could take a little bit longer to restore. So that's gone through and restored successfully into our instance of CRM. Now, SQL Server, I should say. So next step is to go into, we're on the CRM application server, will be the deployment administrator. So I'm just launching that from the start menu, which I've added to. So that's just a snap-in, and that'll load and allow you to manage your organizations within CRM 2011. So this is a CRM 2011 deployment manager. You select the organizations. I've got a base one there for my installation. I click import organization on the right hand actions menu, and then basically up pops the import organizational wizard. Up the top it's recognized that I'm on the CRM server, so it's automatically populated the SQL server name because it's all connected up, so it's recognized that and populated that. And also on the organizational database, since I've restored that with the MSCRM on the end of it, it's now recognized that and placed that automatically in the drop-down box. And it's come up with just a note there that you have selected a database for import from a previous release of Microsoft Dynamics CRM. During the import, the database will be upgraded to Microsoft CRM 2011. So it's just giving you a note there, but we're okay because that's what we're doing. So we'll go through and we'll click next on that wizard. The next step, you'll just go through and specify the new organizational name that you want to apply to your CRM 2011 environment. So you'll place that in that box there. The next step is to specify your SSRS or reporting server, SQL Server Reporting Services box, and you just need to specify the URL with the report server on the end there. So once you pop that in, you can click next. The next step is probably some of the areas that sometimes I need to do a bit of work on around AD, and this is the area where it'll go through and map your Active Directory users You've got two options whether to automatically map them. So if you're moving from, if you're in the same domain and you've got the same Active Directory users, those users are already going to be available in AD, so you can just select automatic and it'll just go through and check against AD, and if they're all there, that'll just map them automatically. If there are some new users that you've added to your Active Directory that are, or you've got them in your CRM, for instance, and they're not in AD, it'll come up in here, it'll fail, and you'll need to go back and create those manually within CRM 4 back in AD, and then map those manually in the manual options. So I'm just going to select auto on this one. So then the next step it comes up. So I've only got four, and this is just a demo pre-baked one, I've only got four users within my CRM4 instance that I've backed up. So it's recognized those four, and I've got those four users sitting in Active Directory already. So it's gone through and automatically mapped those and given me a view so I can have a look. And it's also given me an instance where I can see the roles that are in CRM4 that it's going to map with them. At this stage, you don't get to change those roles, you need to do them later. Well, then once you've finished the import. So I'm happy with that, so I'm going to click Next. And then CRM will basically go through now and do a couple of system checks against your CRM organization, or check against the database. It'll check your connections to SQL Server, and then it'll also check the connection through to SSRS as well. And that's the last step. So I've got a warning there, so I'm going to go and have a look at that. And the details comes up and it says the organisation database selected for import is a different version than the organisational database that is currently deployed. And that's okay, because it's just giving you a warning that this is different, and then we're going through an upgrade anyway, so that's fine. So we'll click OK and we'll carry on with the wizard. We're happy with that. It's going to give you a summary of what's going to actually apply when you upgrade your system. So this gives you display names, your organisational name that's going to be applied. In case you've got something wrong, you've got the ability to hit back and go back and fix that. But I'm happy with that, so I'm going to carry on with the video and hit import. And now this is the process that will take, you know, it varies how long this process takes depending on how much customizations you've got in your system and how much data is sitting in that CRM4 system. So this one where I've just got only a few records and four users, this one took 40 minutes, just to give you an idea. So if you've got a large system, some of these I've seen, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours to run. It just depends on your speed of your hardware and how much data and customization you've got. So to try and just give a time on that, it's different between each scenario. So this will magically run through the import wizard and get to the end. So I've just pre-baked this, so there we go, we've shot straight to the end. And import done. So we've succeeded. If there are any errors through that process, it'll tell you, and you can see the details of those errors and you can look those up, but most of the time that runs quite smoothly all the way through. So that's the import done, and you can go there and there's a link there, a hyperlink as well, where you can view the log file and give you details of actually what it ran through with the upgrade. It won't go to the details of saying this store procedure is updated or this JavaScript was updated. It won't go to that level, just say it did this, it did this, it did this. So you've got the ability to export that out and have a look at that as well if you're that way inclined. So I'll hit finish. So now it's created. You'll see on the deployment manager there's now two organizations. So the first one is just the base org that I created to install CRM, and the second one is there now, TechEd 2012. So what I've done there is right-clicked and I've clicked browse, so I can go through and now browse for my new CRM 2011 system. And that's going to open up an instance of Internet Explorer and now load CRM 2011 directly. And now I can actually see my system. And that's basically the import. And so that's the end of just the demo piece. And that's my process that I go through to import a whole organization. That's just for on-premise. Also, you don't have these capabilities if you're in the cloud. Well, the copying of the data was when you restored that CRM database into SQL Server. All it's doing now, it is creating a record inside the CRM config database, and now it's just upgrading everything in that. It's keeping the data there, but it's upgrading all your forms and scripts into the new version of 2011. Obviously, that's why some of it will break, because it won't be compatible with 2011. A lot of your workflows and things will be fine. I've got a few slides later on about that, the execution, but yeah, the data will be there. It won't touch your data, but it'll be now mapped to, you know, accounts, contacts, where it needs to be within this area. So the question is, do you get two different databases? The answer is no. It'll just still keep the same database as you restored, and there'll be no other separate databases created. It just takes that database and upgrades it, everything inside there. So your new 2011 system is pointing to that same restored SQL database that you restored. Did that answer? That still remains. That's still sitting within your... So the question is, does my default organization still remain? The answer is yes. And what I normally do is when I install CRM, I normally give the name of the CRM instance and when I install it with, say, maybe base on the end of it, because I know that I'm never going to use that org anyway. So a lot of times when some of our infrastructure guys, when we started out with CRM 2011, we actually created, and no fault of their own, but created the CRM 2011 organization with the name that we wanted for production, because we knew the upgrade was coming. But then when you come to the upgrade and you want to now import your org with the name you want, it clashes because you've got the same name and you can't import an org with the same name. So what I do now is just normally tack on base or something on the end of it. Feel free, depending on your naming standards and your company, is to create that. And once that's finished now, I can now go into CRM Deployment Manager and go into CRM Deployment Manager and delete that organization. So I've still only got one org, and it's the org that I've upgraded to. Did that answer the question? Cool. I've
just got a question that came up about your earlier slides. Did read-only defaults? Is that read-only?
Read-only tickbox and the read-only forms?
Yeah. You said it doesn't run in JavaScript, so you need JavaScript to run normally, run in form mode.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
Run that by me again.
So if you've got a role that's read only.
Yep.
So read only content being for the content from the user, then read only box. Read optimize.
Yep.
When the user goes to the content, you see some of the differences for that read optimize, it doesn't show the ribbon. Mm-hmm. But if you have a read only role,
yep.
And you get take that read optimize, then what happens?
The read only form will take precedence and that'll take over the security of that. Yeah.
There are different displays.
Yep.
Read only is different than the read optimize.
Correct. Yeah. So the question is around security and what the JavaScript files and that sort of thing load. But the read-only forms, if you specify that they will use that, that'll take priority over the customized forms. It's just a new feature that they've added on to CRM 2011 for users where they just read data out of CRM rather than manipulating data or updating data. So they just get that form by default because you go into and specify that role that they can have it in their settings, and then that will take precedence over the top of the customized form. Does that answer your question? So just some of the common upgrade errors, I just sort of share some of them that I normally encounter when I do these upgrades is I put them into four categories: reports, plugins, workflows, and ribbons. So within the report section, most of the time the SSRS reports that I've got will still work because the attributes and field names are all pretty much the same, so they normally run fine. But if you're moving up into the cloud and you've got a lot of SQL type of reports, those reports will require now to be changed to Fetch XML, because those Fetch XML files, those reports will need to use that language up in the cloud. Some of the plugin errors, so they need to be upgraded, or some of the code will change depending on how you've written your plugins. That code is now, you can change it to use the .NET 4 data types, and some of the code that you've got in there may be using the old CRM 4 web service calls and that sort of thing, so you'll need to change some of those as well, but hopefully you haven't hard-coded those. But there's a lot of changes that happen that within our code base and the plugins, so they normally need to be changed. The other one, the workflows, I've noticed most of the time the workflows come across okay, so you don't need to change a lot of your workflows unless they're using workflow assemblies. So you might need to go in and change, upgrade those workflow assemblies and then repoint them into your workflows and they'll be fine. And just double check any workflows that may be sending emails and that sort of stuff, that they're also pointing at the right area. And the last one, which is around ribbons, so your ISV buttons and all that sort of stuff that you had in CRM 4, those already get upgraded to ribbon buttons. But some of those still have like ISV and that sort of stuff in their names, so you just need to go through and use the out-of-box XML or tools, which I mentioned later, to go in and change those so they are actual now ribbon buttons and still have the functionality wired up, because that may be broken or not calling the right JavaScript, etc. So one of the report errors that I've noticed, if you've got a CRM 4 environment and you go to run your report in 2011 now, you get the report. The report cannot be displayed. RS read only parameter, report parameter error. And you're wondering what this is. So what I've found, if you take your CRM database from CRM 4 to and upgrade to 2011 and you're on an update rollup lower than 16, you'll get this error by default. If you've got a latest update rollup, you shouldn't encounter this error. The quick fix really for these, and it can be tedious if you've got a lot of reports, if you just remove that report out of your CRM 2011 system, download the RDL and re-import it back in with the same properties, it'll work. So it's just some of the underlying in the database, the way it references those reports. And some of the parameters of those reports have changed a little bit as well, and the way the upgrade handles them below update rollup 16, there's a bit of an issue there. The other one I've noticed also is some of your plugins. You'll try and remove your CRM 4 plugins out of your 2011 system before you go and put your new plugins, register your new plugins or put them into your solution. And you try and remove them through the user interface and they can't get removed. And you're wondering why. And then you think, oh, I'll try the registration tool. So I'll jump into the registration tool, I'll connect that up to my CRM 2011 environment, and I'll go unregister. And I still get, and you get the error. Are unable to load plugin type. So really the fix around there is it's just trying to talk to the old CRM 4 SDK DLLs and it can't find them because your CRM 2011 doesn't have them. So if you add that to the GAC and then go in and remove them, it'll remove successfully. So you can just jump into the registration tool and remove it out of there and it'll remove it out. There's a tip there. So on the execution side, some of the tools that you can use for upgraders, and some of them on Codeplex, and there's a lot more going up on there as well. I know some people in the room have created some that have popped up on there. So with CRM 4, if you want to convert your code to CRM 4 to 2011, and you're sort of, you know, you might be new to JavaScript or not a JavaScript expert, you can go in and use there's a tool, JavaScript converter tool up on Codeplex, which if you paste in your CRM 4 code, you can convert it to 2011 and then bring that across. I mentioned the ISV buttons that are in CRM 4. These now also come across and get imported into your 2011 system, but you want to go through and tidy those up. There's an XML ribbon editor, which is up on Codeplex, which allows you to get a user interface on those buttons, so you can, rather than diving into XML and going through all the nodes, etc., you can use that tool to update your buttons on the ribbon. That's a quick way of tidying that up. And if you want to look at latency or bandwidth or perform a few performance JavaScript tests, measure your CPU browser performance of your CRM 2011 system from update rollup 4 and above, there's a CRM diagnostic tool that ships with the product. And you can get to that via the URL within your system. If you just place in your organizational server name and that first bit that I've got there down the bottom in that link, /tools/diagnostics/diag.aspx, you can go to that and run it against your system and get some information out of that as well. So it's quite a handy tool, especially when we're working with online as well, when looking at latency and what sort of our speed tests are. And with, depending on different ISPs that you're using, you'll get different latency speeds back to the data center in Singapore. So some of the post-upgrade scenarios to go through. So I touched on the CRM4 earlier on, and the CRM4 JavaScript syntax has changed in 2011. So the CRM4 object provides access to the form fields, and the CRM4 has been deprecated in 2011, so this no longer exists. Scripts using the CRM4 syntax in JavaScript will continue to work in 2011 because Microsoft's allowed that to support backwards compatibility. And then you just need to make a decision there around, do you want to just keep your CRM211 system running on the old CRM4 objects, or do you want to go through and actually, when you do the project plan upgrade to do the JavaScript changes, is change all that code to now use the XRM.page object type. So then you can be, you know, you can have that, all that code in the latest version going forward as well. Mobility, so Regan touched on mobility a session earlier this morning, so I won't go into a lot of depth in that, but you just need to go through and decide on your scope and requirements for mobility. So I just recommend once you go to 2011, you've upgraded, get that done first, get that live, before you then start looking at mobility on top of that. And just define what's your return on investment on that, what does it mean for your company or customers, and scope out the requirements and that. So later on this year, there'll be more output from Microsoft and that, and in that space. But at the moment, you know, CWR, RISCO, 10 digits, all those sort of things are your options around mobility. And for some of the infrastructure people or system administrators or people that, you know, own the CRM system that's been implemented, I highly recommend that you keep beside you as the implementation guide, and have a look at the operation and maintaining section in there. Once you're live, it's got some good information there, and there's a lot of white papers out as well around performance and all that sort of stuff that you need to, you can tweak your system to get better output from it. So we're coming to the conclusion of this session. I just wanted to touch on the related content in the tracks at TechEd. So Guyan, who's just sitting at the back there, put your hand up, Guyan. Yep, so I've put a plug in here for him. So he's got a session tomorrow from 10:40 to 11:40 in the Dynamics Tracks, 401 Advanced Bag Tricks, Bag of Tips and Tricks for CRM 2011 developers. So I recommend you, if you're in the CRM space or you want to keep on the Dynamics space, to go and have a look at that. In the certification ward house across the road there, there's 704646. So if you're an infrastructure related person or you like the setup or installing CRM, there's a related exam around Windows Server 2008 on the administrator side. And if you want to get in contact with me post this session or afterwards, you can ping me an email at grego@intergen.co.nz or I'll get you out my blog or my Twitter. And TechEd's got a number of different resources available, so you can pop up onto the main TechEd site. There's also a learning site with /learning. A number of you are probably using TechNet or MSDN, so you can jump onto those sites as well. And lastly, make sure you get in the draw to win a prize. So if you've got a smartphone in your hand, make sure you jump onto that link and evaluate the session, so you can get in the draw to win those prizes. So that concludes my session for today, and I thank you for coming. Is there any question before we wrap up? Okay. So the question was, can you do an upgrade, or what is the process of doing an upgrade from online to on-premise? If you're already online and you've got your data up on there and you've got your customizations and that sort of thing, you'll need to look at the options around what you need to do to bring your data back down from the online instance, or if it's hosted, to bring it back in. And the other one is you'll need to export out all your customizations across as well. So what I recommend is you create a new Cerium 2011 instance. So you said online to on-premise, so create that as on-premise. And then you'll need to look at bringing your customizations in first. And then and that may be, there might be quite a bit of manual work there to be done as well. And then you'll need to import your data into that system as well. Any other questions? Yep, down the back.
Yeah, we were migrating from 14. How much time do you sort of have to spend fixing some of the, you know, errors and issues that you've encountered? I mean, is it days, weeks?
Okay. Yep.
And around the like coaching and CRM.
Yeah. Okay. So the question is, how long do I normally have to spend when I do a CRM 4 upgrade to 2011? And how much time is invested in doing code changes and that sort of thing. It does vary between a lot of different projects. I've done very large ones where they've been heavily customized and they've run for 6 months, but that's because they're very, very heavily customized and they've got integration pieces. There's others that have run for a couple of weeks, smaller environments. So it just varies depending on which project and how customized it is. The more, I always say the more custom, it's probably, you probably could graph it. I haven't gone to that stage. We probably could graph it. It's probably goes straight up as a linear, but it's, you can't put a time on it. You just need to go, once you go through the estimation process of that smoke test upgrade and identify all the pieces that need to be fixed, that'll give you an idea of how long it's going to take. And that's why I recommend doing that approach, because then you, because otherwise that question comes up, and I get asked that question quite a bit actually, so yeah, good question. Yeah, otherwise it's really hard just to give numbers, whether it's days, weeks, months. Yeah, cool. Any other questions? No? Okay.